I'm sorry, Spirit of the Law, Hanukkah.
Hanukkah, yeah.
And I'm getting shot.
That's a great issue. Okay, so the first thing we have here is, on the first night of Hanukkah, make three brachas. The Hanukkah, Shul Hanukkah, Shasin Lisan Lavo, Sein Lahat Lohim Lahim Basman Azeh, and Shehechi Anu. That's the first thing. Three brachas. The Poskei the Beis Chabrish would make a simen. It says in the verse, make for yourself a snake, and the snakes were biting the Jewish people. So make for yourself a snake and put on a banner. That's what the verse says. One who sees it will live. It says, make for yourself a snake. Asher chasaraf. Saraf also means saraf, is a sreifa. Sreifa means to burn. Saraf in the Chumash, and that what you and that parasha is talking about, it's called a saraf, means a serpent, right? Because it's fiery, it has fiery poison. But it also means a snake. It also means a fire. Sreifa today means a fire. So mainly what that means is that you have a mechanas. Aserach saraf is, right, we make the bracha on the fire, the hadik ner shel Chanukah. Basim also al neis, put it on a banner, neis isha asa nisi labosein. Right? Veros v'chai, one who is afflicted by the snakes will look at this banner and will live. Shehechiyanu, Zek Hashem, that we have life. He says, Shleisha also, three is she'asa nisin labosainu, the shin, lehadlik ner is lamed, and Shehechiyanu, haneiros halalach, right? Shehechiyanu and haneiros halalach. We say, these candles we can't use, we can't look at them to remember the miracle of Hanukkah. After a person lights one candle, he should say Haneiros Halalu. Haneiros Halalu. Haneiros Halalu, these candles which we are lighting for the miracles and the wonders which you made for us and for our fathers in these days and those days, through your Kohanim, and all 8 days of Hanukkah, these candles are holy, we cannot use them. Only see, look at them in order to praise your great name for all the great miracles. In short, there's 36 words in this prayer. This little thing you say, 36, there's 36 candles of Hanukkah. That's what it says. In 8 days, his wife should be there. And when he's lighting all the candles, his wife and children should be there. So the first thing we have to realize about this sif is that Kapachayim brings a person should say these brachas with a lot of joy. A lot of joy. This mitzvah is very precious. Very, very, very precious. Very, very beautiful mitzvah. Once in a year, he said, and person should have in mind that there are angels here. He's going to generate more angels and do great things. He shouldn't just pop it off. He should stay with a lot of connection and closeness to Hashem, if possible. He should light the candles. He should wear an overgarment, like when you go to shul. He should be dressed like shul, for shul. There were tzaddikim, this little Rebbe. This little Rebbe said, I don't know what people are following. People do follow him around or checking out. He had like a very strong, he's very, very connected. One person said, I want to see how he lit the Hanukkah candles. So he said, there's nothing to see. Of course, he lit them in the most completely, totally hidden way. It was just bracha, quickly lit. See, nothing to see. He's like totally hidden. That was him. But there were tzaddikim. They were very, very great tzaddikim. Very great tzaddikim. These tzaddikim understood that Ner Chanukah is a time, it's a very, very hard time. You can do an awful lot with these Ner Chanukah. One of the tzaddikim, someone came to him and he said, I have a hard time having children. And the doctors told me I need to go to a resort and get the air of May. May time is good for my malady. So May, in Yiddish, May is May. So he said, I don't know about that, but all I can say is it says to Gemara, May Chanukah, what's Chanukah? So May you can get in Chanukah too. So you just have to promise me that you're going to fast whatever day your child is born. I said, okay, I'm happy to do that. As long as I have a child, I'll fast. And the baby was born on Tisha B'Av. And that was what happened. So Chanukah list has tremendous power. Any Yeshua is possible to bring from the Chanukah list. It's an amazing thing. Oh, yeah.
During Hanukkah, mm-hmm. going back in time to like the first Hanukkah, mm-hmm. there was tzaddikim then, right?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Okay, great tzaddikim. Mm-hmm. But there was also a civil war with Jews among Jews fighting Jews.
Of course, but there weren't too many tzaddikim. There were like 13 people left who were willing to fight. Someone else was in hiding. Eventually there, other people joined them.
Okay, mm-hmm. but there were Jews fighting Jews.
Uh-huh.
And the Jews who brought the Hanukkah miracle to the Jewish people, they obviously, because they won, they had to be responsible for many Jewish deaths.
There's something to that. There's something to that. I don't know how many people were killed, maybe not as many as you think. I don't know.
Wasn't there a big army there too?
Oh, there was a big army for sure. And there were people who were killed, for sure. But they never planned on winning. That was not their plan. No, there were 13 people against the Greek army. How are you going to win? Impossible. Totally impossible. Like, we're going to die, Kiddush Hashem. They'll kill us, and we're willing to die so that we should reveal Hashem in the world, and he'll help somehow. But like, they didn't expect to live. No way. Impossible. It's impossible. Figure out the odds. The odds are completely impossible. So they're like, okay, we're going to die. So we'll die. That's it. So one person dies. So one person dies. No problem. That's it. And they won.
They're zealots. So, what about today? It seems like the story continually repeats itself. The scenario goes on and on and on.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, I'm a new OF, so all I can do is, like, observe.
Right.
You know, and I could say, wait, this guy says this, and that guy says this, and I rely a lot on Caroline Glick of the Jerusalem Post, because she makes a lot of sense. And other people make no sense at all. And Israel seems to allow people to present legal cases that destroy the country.
Yep.
The Supreme Court is in on this. They allow decisions. I'm thinking that he fought to establish a Jewish country under some kind of a Torah law. I don't know exactly what, but some type. And then we allow these people in. Why shouldn't we be like taking up bayonets and chasing these people? It doesn't have an answer.
No, for sure not. Absolutely. I mean, it does, of course. Tshuva. It's easy answer. We'll all do tshuva and everything will be okay. But we happen to do it. That's just all very nice. But we never do tshuva, we'll do tshuva, we'll all be okay. We're like, you know, we're trying. But yeah, there's no answer. It's true. But that's, you know, we figured it out. We started people are figuring it out. We're not, this is a stage. This is not a final. Final, this is not final. It's like really a lot of dysfunction here. And that's the way it's supposed to be. On the set. But when the communists took over, the Chafetz Chaim said they should have right away said, well, we'll all die, no problem. So then they would have lost. Just like Hanukkah, he said. It's like a big, you know, if people will die, but wouldn't have died. Like sometimes we have to do what we have to do to keep the continuity of the Jewish people. It's not simple. Not so simple. So Haner Salalu.
Kurdish Shame. My final question is
sure.
Is the concept, where do their prayers go? I mean, I know where my prayers go mm-hmm. when I light the menorah. But people, and it's okay if people think the same way I do, and think totally differently. Mm-hmm. Do those prayers go to the same source as my prayers?
That's a great question. It's not so relevant to Hanukkah, but it's relevant enough, and I can answer the question. It'll take a few minutes, not too long, I hope, as Hashem. So that's the question. I dealt with this question, like, I don't know, last year in Sukkot, not this last one, the one before. I was doing a few shurim. I was really strange. I was supposed to be one shurim, and other people didn't show up, so I gave like several shurim somehow. And one of the people asked me, he said, you know, Rav Moshe says that a conservative shul or a reformed shul is not counting shul at all. So what about all the sincere prayers the person offers there? Okay, very nice. Yes, you're right. There is negative thought going on there. There's stuff that's not appropriate as a shul. It's all very nice. But what if someone who's like really desperate is down at the shack and he's here, she really means it, you know? It's like zero, like you erased it, nothing. So I said, of course not. Of course it's not nothing. Of course it's very precious. Just in terms of davening the shul, it's not a shul. So it gets to daven again. I told him my father was a rabbi who served the shul for a while, which was trying to help people come closer. And he did everything twice. Like he did 100 shofar blasts for them, 100 shofar blasts in the house. And so everything he had to do again, he davened at home, he was learning. He said, I can't, everything I do I have to double. Because the chiyuv matfila you can't do there. But the heart is the heart.
How can there's a minyan? How can it not be?
Oh, because that's, okay. So he said like this, he says that when you have a place which is set aside, and people don't mean it this way, and that's not, they don't notice this angle. But what happens is it starts to become somewhat secular, like it becomes a social meeting place. So what that means is that boys and girls are meeting, and whatever that entails, whatever that means, it's not great. You know, it's not 100%. So, to the moment you have someone coming in a social milieu, and it becomes like kind of like a club for some people, maybe a large percentage of people, so then the shul doesn't count. Like it doesn't, the minyan doesn't mean anything. You can't have a minyan which is in a place like, we all understand that they're in the middle of some Broadway production somewhere, so you can make a minyan, but if there's, it's unseemly, it just doesn't really work so well. We all understand that. So if you have a place that's specific, again, they don't mean it this way, they don't see this, they don't understand this. At the moment you talk to someone, like, and you say, okay, candidly, in shul here, you're a teenager, what are you thinking about the most in shul? Okay, and if the answer is not a great answer, so then it's not a shul. That's what he said. He said, I'm sorry, this is a different bathroom, halacha. But nevertheless, a sincere prayer is a sincere prayer. It goes up anyway. Just the regular route, can't take the regular route. It doesn't need the regular route. When you have a sincere prayer, you don't need the regular route. That's what Michal says, so when you talk to Hashem from your heart, he said, usually there are angels that bring the prayer up, and they move it ahead, and they're academic, there's a whole process. So when you talk to Hashem from the heart, you just create your own channel to Hashem. So it doesn't matter where you are, and what, minion, no minion, nothing, it doesn't make a difference. Your heart is going to go where it's supposed to go. So maybe it goes higher, depends on how the person is dominating. Because it really means that he doesn't know better, doesn't understand. What are we supposed to do with such a person? And I told the story of the Al-Sheikh. It's a beautiful story. It's a very big yisod in understanding a lot of things in the story. Which is that the Al-Sheikh one time went to raise money. I think I told it before here, if I'm not mistaken. He came to Terechot Toretz. And there's another story. I'll tell the Al-Sheikh, I guess. He came to Chot Toretz. And he wanted to raise money. There had been an earthquake in Tzfas. So he's staying with this person who really liked him. He really felt like he was a special person. And he was. The Al-Sheikh was very connected. And he went to the Al-Sheikh and he said, you know, we really need the grave of a tzaddik in our city. We don't have a grave of a tzaddik and we require one. Ah, you need two. He said, no way. I mean that it would be really great, you know, you're already older, if we had a grave of a tzaddik here. So he's like, until he finally figured out the guy simply wanted to kill him. Like, no, simple, like, very simple. He's like, Petfilos, without, he's not, in no malice, I don't mean any offense, he's really nice. But we never gave a tzaddik, we don't have one. How else can we get one? Like, we can't. And he just totally, you know, very simple. He says, you know, I have to stay in the night and I have to see what they say in Shammai about this. I'll ask. So he went up to Shammai and he asked two questions. A, is this for real? Is this guy, like, is he like, does he need to be committed in like a mental institution? Like, what's his deal, this guy? You know, this guy's not well? Or this has some legitimacy? And if it does, is there any way around it? So he said, of course there's legitimacy. You have a Jew on a simple level. He doesn't know better. Yeah, he's proposing murder. But he doesn't get it. He heard the great tzaddikim and he got confused about this concept. So he thinks that this is a good idea. So yeah, for sure it's legitimate. Of course it's legitimate. You can't just like push him off, brush him off. He really means it. He's begging Hashem for help to find a good tzaddik, and now he has a tzaddik. So yeah, his stupid, crazy meandering has meaning in heaven. Is there a way around it? Yeah, tell him you're going to make unifications over a table. You'll think about divine names. The table will have the power of the kevod tzaddik, and he'll accept that, and then everything will be fine. And that's what he did. So to like negate someone, especially if you have a lot of people who have a belief which is really, I mean, unfortunately, like, I mean, it's idiotic. Like, I hate to say it. It's completely way off, off the deep end crazy. Where you think that you could meet in a place, make it social, and make it into a theater or something, and then say, what's my shul? I mean, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. Like, you know, my brother-in-law wants to play. That's the funniest thing. The learning, co-ed Gemara learning, right? So the girl's learning, and the guy is like just like reciting love poems. So he doesn't care about the learning. He's just like, he has something else in mind. And it was a very funny play. But like, it's like, it's a little bit of a joke. It's a travesty. So that's not everyone. Yes, there are people this way. There are people that way. It depends on. But the shul can't be a shul. You can't have a kaddish. You can't have a winner. It's like this much percent or this much of the time. It's really social, and there's not good things going on in a person's head. Bad enough in a shul with a mechitza, what's going on in people's head maybe sometimes. Unfortunately. But without a mechitza, without careful and dress, like, forget it. It's ridiculous. It's outrageous. What are you joking? Where do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Yeah, he does, but he doesn't know better. He's like the guy with the Pasha, it's famous. He doesn't know better. He doesn't understand. He really means it with his depth. So he or she means it with the deepest of the part of the heart. You can't just throw that out. Doesn't get thrown out. So prayers go to where my prayers go, and your prayers go, and maybe higher too, if it's real. If it's not real, then it's got a little bit more impediment. This is in a place that's very hard to get. Like, he's like diving in the bathroom. Like, what do you mean? If you dive in, you dive in. If you dive in, you dive in. It works. It does not work. It's just like, it's a little bit of a handicap. It's the harder to get where you need to go when you're in the bathroom.
It seems to me that if you don't have kavanah, you pray go to the dark side.
No. Only in a certain way. Not really. No. So that's a different question. It's a great question. Also, Torah and Tefillah. Yeah, Rav Nosson brings this in the Lechas. He said, you know, this. He said, even though we know that it says it goes to the other side, unless you do tshuva, if you do tshuva, you're a Rosh, the Chinuch Rosh, wherever you are, so your tefillah, your Torah is going the wrong way. So there's secrets here. It's not stam, but it really goes away. It all helps anyway, and that's true. When someone asked the stifler what that means, he said that in Deeper Works explains that, letters, he said, in Deeper Works explains that there are two aspects to every mitzvah, every Torah, the tefillah. The one aspect is you connect to it and feel it here. That is what it means. It goes to this drach, it means you don't feel anything. Clue. But it doesn't all go to this drach. The feeling, the connection you get from it, you don't really have. Or it's not a good one. It's not a proper one. Not a balanced one. But not that it's zero. It's not zero. But it has to be picked up. That's why at different times when we pick up tefillahs, the Rebbe says, the Zohar really says, and I think it's many chesed works, that when you have one good davening, it picks up all the bad davening. Rome will be zochet to one good davening. That's the question. But Nelson says one good davening is worth like your whole life.
Let's say a person can read or they daven.